Now for the gap theory. This is why it takes so long, people. But there's so these questions, you know, you can write it in a sentence, and there's just so much to talk about. Well, we'll try to kind of summarize quickly what the gap theory is, and it ties in with creation too, because it, obviously God created all things, and if we read the account, the gap theorists, the gappers, the gappists, are ones who would say there's a gap between Revelation, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Gap, sometimes millions of years. Others would say, well, milliseconds. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. So what they say is that the earth was created perfectly. Everything was in place. Even a race of humanoids, which is where cavemen came from. And that these cavemen then, when Satan sinned, he then destroyed the earth, the universe, because of the sin. And that the at that point, then there was a flood that came over the earth, the satanic flood, or the flood back, not the Noahic flood. And that this flood then destroyed the earth, making it ready for the reformation. And remember last month, we talked about the reformation of the earth, that there's an archaic, it's some of an archaic word in the King James that people pick up on. What verse was that? In Genesis, it talks about, not reformed.
It says replenished.
Replenished, thank you, replenished. Back when that word, remember, when that word was written out, replenish didn't mean quite what it meant today. You have to go back to what it meant then. The replenish means to fill. And that's the literal word. The word is to fill, not to refill. And so people will pick up, the gappists will pick up that word and say, see, it's been refilled, it's been, and they take it, not understanding that the word has changed its usage during the years. So, the earth, kind of quickly here, let's talk about a couple of issues here. And they make use of the idea of shaping, fashion, or create. Genesis 1:1, create, to shape, fashion, or create. The same word is used in Genesis 1:21. Create the whales, create man, create. So Genesis 1 talks about creation, but the other creations are the same word. It's the same Hebrew word that's used. So in other words, it really is tied together as the same process. They'll take scripture and kind of twist words to fit what they're thinking. Isaiah 45:18 says that the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it and created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. They'll take and use the formed to mean he didn't create it, but when in fact created and formed are really the same word. There's synonyms for these words. You can't understand it in terms of just because it says formed that it's not create. There's no biblical evidence for that, but they play that up as if it's something that was formed instead of created. That's part of what they do. I mentioned Satan's flood. They go to 2 Peter 3, 5, and 6. Which talks about the flood. Let's go there real quickly. And it says that, for when they maintained it, it escapes your notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago. The earth was formed out of the water and by the water. They talk about that as being the flood of Satan because of destroying what he destroyed to get ready to reform that earth. Through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And they go back to the spirit and the over the waters in Genesis and try to make an issue of that. Again, it's a complicated issue that, you know, trying to explain it in just a few minutes is, for me, very difficult. But let's take a look at some of these things that are problematic. Oh, I mentioned Isaiah used the word create to describe God's word. So if we go to Isaiah 40, verse 25, to whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. So he's again, he's taking credit for creating the stars. Verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? This is the verse we said earlier, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. It's almost a throwaway here that, oh, I'm the creator of the ends of the earth. He's created the earth. And the Bible always talks about this creative work. But to form something is to fashion it or make it. The verse quoted from Isaiah 45:18. We'll just take a quick look at that. 45:18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. And I think, I'm going to go to the King James Bible here. No, it says created. Oh, for thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. And those that are gapists will take and say there's two different things going on here, the creation and the formation. The same word is used in Genesis 2:7, which is talking about forming the man from dust. And so that would be forming him, apparently not creating him. Genesis 2:19 talks about forming him. But if you look at Isaiah 43:7, I guess if there's a verse to kind of remember here, 43:7 says that everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. Now there's three words there that are used that are somewhat sometimes differentiated when they're really the same word. Sometimes there might be a subtle difference between them, but in creation, created, formed, and made are all synonyms of the same thing, or God's creative work. And so that creation, people that try to separate these things into individual components and try to make a point that created is not formed and formed is not created, if you go to this verse right away, you can see that they're really synonyms of the same thing, and it relates to God who was had created this. Another thing, Genesis 2:15. The gapists will take Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. They say that keeping it is guarding it against Satan. Now again, they're stretching things way beyond where it needs to go. That whole idea is he's watching over it. When you're keeping it, you're watching over it. And if you look up other uses of that word, you'll see that it's really Adam was there to watch over the garden. He's not keeping it like keeping it safe from Satan. They're carrying things and assuming many things that just aren't in Scripture trying to use these words in different ways, showing their great bias in trying to come up with what they are trying to say.
So what does keeping it refer to then?
Oh, the keeping it, in this case, is watching over it. They're in charge of it. Yeah, they're God had them work in... Yeah, he's bad. God had them doing... They were working in the garden. They were working. God gave them work to do. It became a lot worse after sin. That's when the thorns and thistles came up, and he had to toil with the soil. But in this case, do you think Adam and Eve were just sitting around twiddling their thumbs all day, picking fruit? No, they were working the garden. They were just making it nice, laying out paths and whatever.
They're supposed to dress it and keep it, so they weren't really dressing it in clothes.
Well, no. Maybe they were. They were putting clothes around the trees.
That's
no,
hard.
It's. Yeah, if you take it very literally, then what were they doing?
And dress, would that be formal?
Dressing, yes. And are formal trees? And all right, people, now we've gone crazy.
What's that?
Adam and Eve, did they eat vegetables or only fruit?
It doesn't say about their diet other than they didn't eat meat. And they probably didn't have a mosquito problem either. Yeah, Jake. What did they drink? They probably had fresh water that was flowing through there. It had rivers that surrounded, but they also had dew that was would come up, and they probably gathered it that way. So they probably had, in fact, they were, Adam was probably very intelligent because he didn't wasn't affected by sin. And they came up with all kinds of ways to make their life probably much easier. And that's, you know, look at man now. Adam, being a lot more intelligent than those probably sons and daughters, they would have made a life that was going to be wonderful. In fact, there's even evidence of inventions and so on that could even go back to Adam that would amaze us what they had. Oh, I bet it was the best wine ever. You can probably drink without getting drunk. Yeah, milk and honey. Oh.
I don't think they needed wine.
Their life was too good. Only after sin.
As far as eating, though, he did say you could eat of any other tree. God said that you could eat of any tree.
Oh, yes. There was one tree that was the test tree, and it was probably a limited test. It probably wasn't there forever. It was there probably for a short time. Jesus' temptation was 40 days. Perhaps they had a 40-day trial period to see if they would eat, and then it was probably removed. But they fell, so they did eat of that. It was too enticing. And they were the perfect test for the human race. So it was actually a test for the human race to see if are they going to fall into sin. Of course, God had already come up with the plan of redemption.
But Adam and Eve were perfect before they ate the tree, or were they?
They were created perfectly, yes.
Why did they have to drink and eat food, and then they ate the tree, and then all of a sudden entered the world, and now they're not perfect? Before they had to eat food and drink. So I'm kind of confused, because if they're perfect before they ate the tree, why do they have to drink and eat food? Because if you're perfect, you're not hungry and you're strict.
Well, that's your idea of perfect. My idea of perfect is a good meal. And so God created us to eat. And in fact, in the eternal state, there's evidence that we will be eating in the eternal state.
And Adam
that it'll be part of our existence and we'll enjoy it. You know, when you get into the eternal state, there's actually the tree of life shows up. And there's evidence that people will be eating of the tree of life. So I think God made us to enjoy food, and
they were made,
we do, don't we? So yes, they were spiritually perfect, and physically would have lived forever, and they would have lived forever probably because they were eating of the tree of life. There's evidence that eating of the tree of life would give them eternal life. And scientists are looking at how people age, and a lot of times it's something in the chromosomes that don't replicate ourselves, you know, the things that quit replicating. The tree of life perhaps changes that and allows people to live so that things will replicate perfectly. But part of that is eating, and God has designed us. They were probably, though, very efficient in processing food. They may not have had as much waste as we would create, because their bodies would use that food perfectly. We're actually pretty efficient when we use food. You think about eating what little bit of food we need to eat to get through the whole day of working. If our cars, think of how much gas a car uses and how many BTUs that burns to get and to operate all day. Well, when we're operating, we use very few calories in order to get done what we need to get done. So part of, though, of our existence is food. God created us that way. So there's nothing wrong with eating. They probably, and they were enjoying their existence in this garden even doing work. So even work was something that God gave them, but it was work that they enjoyed.
But one thing is that after they ate from the fruit, did they notice, like after they got kicked out of the garden, you know, did they notice that something had changed in like how they acted?
There was a definite change there, and it talks about, first of all, that there are curses given to them by God. So read Genesis this week along with Job. Now, you're just adding to your reading. And it said that Adam was cursed because now he's going to deal with thorns and thistles and all that, and he's going to have to toil in the soil. So he's going to have to do a lot more work to get things to grow. Before, it was probably more of a maintenance and making things nice for them. Now it's going to be, you're going to, by the sweat of your brow, that they're going to have to do these things. So things changed definitely. And they started dying. Physically, their bodies were starting to decay too.
And he knew they were naked.
He knew, which is another thing. Like a dog doesn't know he's naked. Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked. I mean, that's something we can't comprehend, is it?
Yeah, everything's changed because at that point then the whole world was, that point, oxidization, because the iron starts to deteriorate, our bodies deteriorate, death. It started to just completely change.
Yeah, so there's a change not only in people, but and not only in the garden, but in the whole universe. If you read Romans, another chapter you have to read this week, is that, I'll give you a list so that your mom can make sure you read it, is that Romans talks about the world groaning, that the world is, or 1 Corinthians.
Romans 8.
Romans 8, but I think it also, anyway, thank you. That that there's a groaning going on because of sin, and so the whole universe was affected, and that's why God has to recreate everything. So just real quickly, Exodus 20:11 says, for 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. The only in Bible indication is that there were 6 days of creation. He made things in that 6 days and then rested. There's no indication that he created, big gap, and then recreated and reformed everything. There's just no indication of that. And it says Genesis 1:2. We'll just go back to that real quickly here. It says that, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, notice, it doesn't say the earth became, it says it was. Now, don't you think if it had changed that there would be a become in there? But it's not. It's not about becoming, it just was. God, what he did is form a ball, and now he's going to fill it. It's not the refilling, it's a filling. It's the whole idea that God is now going to make this. There's nothing wrong, and again, the gapist would say that being without form and void is bad. No, it's a description of what God what created before it was filled. And if you took everything out other than this block of rock, what's left? Something that's kind of form and void, but now I'm going to fill it. It won't be void anymore, and it'll have form. It's very simple, but the gapists will take and twist things to get you to the wrong point. We don't have time to... That's the basic idea here of what's going on here in the gap theory. So, yes, Marge.
Well, I just like going to Genesis 1, verse 31, chapter 131. After he had created everything, it was very good. And you wouldn't say that if there was death and sickness.
Exactly.
That's not...
That's right. Now that's where most people say in that gap is where the fossils were formed, where we have the dinosaurs living, that we find Cro-Magnon man and all these things. So they're trying to all they're doing is trying to bring science and the Bible together by creating a gap.
And they're trying to say that death was in the world before Adam and Eve.
Yes. And sin is the thing that brought death into the world, and that's very clearly spoken of in Romans. And so that whole idea is that their theory on the gap, it doesn't stand up if you really take a look at some of these things. It falls apart very quickly.
I mean, I wonder if it was man that brought sin into the world.
Yes,
death came by man.
Death came by sin, and yeah, sin came in through man.
But they'll tell you that animals die all the time if they're Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
They work backwards.
Well, we're going to have to call it quits.